Again, welcome to Echo Church Online. It is a tremendous honor to be invited into your home, coming to you live from Beasley Orchards in Danville. I'm looking forward to our time together today, as I think it's going to help a lot of people. We're in part two of a new series called Emotions, and last week we talked about where God is when we hurt. If you missed it, I definitely encourage every person to watch it this week. The title of today's message is Attacking Anxiety. Now, I'm intentionally playing with the words. Anxiety attacks are a very real thing for many people. So today, I want to reverse the pressure, helping you find relief while putting anxiety on the defensive. Tell someone sitting next to you or type it online, Attacking Anxiety. Let me start off with some confession. Listen, I know Jesus, I love Jesus, I faithfully follow Jesus, and I have a growing and active relationship with Jesus, but I still battle with anxiety, probably in this current season more than I can remember. I suspect that many of you watching can relate. I like to think that I deal well with stress and anxiety, but recent information has proven me wrong. I've dealt with some back and shoulder pain for several years, and I've tried several solutions, but none have prevailed. I've recently started working with a nutritionist in hopes of seeing if what I'm putting in my body is helping or hurting me. They ran several tests, and one showed that when I'm resting, my heart rate is actually elevated, and that when I'm upright, that my body is trying to rest. In essence, my body is working backwards, and I'm never truly at rest. During another test, the doctor performing the exam told another doctor in the room that my body is displaying signs of emotional stress. I wanted to argue, but then he quickly moved on to another issue. If I'm being honest, I was embarrassed for a moment, thinking, listen, pastors don't battle emotional stress, or do we? For the record, from a food standpoint, I've learned that at least half of what I eat on a normal basis is having a negative impact or effect on my body. So I'm on this super weird diet. So if I just fall over in the middle of this message, I'm fine. I just need some of my favorite foods like pizza and some pastries, and I should snap right back. Now, to be clear, I'm not trying to establish a Chad Lunsford pity party today. I'm just trying to say that if you're feeling anxious these days, I understand. And I'm not just preaching this message, I'm learning from this message too. If you're battling anxiety, you're not alone. The National Center for Health recently published a study where they found that 5 times more people are showing signs of an anxiety disorder in July 2020 when compared to just last year, July 2019. 5 times more. The Barnard Group has learned that over 40% of people say that battling anxiety affects their most important relationships. Mental health and emotional well-being have reached crisis levels in America. So much feels abnormal and uneasy, which means that so many are searching for normalcy and peace. Today's message is so important for so many of us. In this series, we're learning from the emotions of Jesus, and believe it or not, Jesus battled with anxiety. Now, I want to acknowledge here at the beginning that I don't have all the answers to anxiety. Sometimes anxiety can be physiological, it can be emotional, it can be situational, and it can be spiritual. You might need to see a doctor and consider a new diet or supplements or even medicine. You may elect to see a counselor and talk with someone. In fact, we can make recommendations for that. Today, I'm looking at this from the spiritual side. I firmly believe that the spiritual side is incredibly important, and it always has a powerful role to play. We need to look at anxiety with a holistic approach, and I'll speak from the only vantage point of which I'm actually qualified, which is a spiritual perspective. I want to look at how Jesus dealt with anxiety. Yes, Jesus dealt with anxiety. Most Christians feel like they've failed or that they're letting God down if they deal with anxiety, and I want you to know that that's not the case. It's not a sin to be anxious. Anxiety is like anger. Anger itself is not necessarily a sin. but anger can lead to sin. Just like anger, anxiety can and often does lead to sinful actions or behavior. Feeling anxiety doesn't mean that you've let God down. It just means that you're human. In fact, it might surprise you when you look at Jesus, the Son of God. Remember, Jesus was fully God and fully human. He faced overwhelming anxiety. And what's perhaps a little funny, even in the middle of extreme pressure, when Jesus felt anxious, he talked a lot. Like, does anybody else talk a lot when they're feeling anxious? I can get a little chatty when I'm stressed. My oldest daughter, Ava, follows in my footsteps and talks a lot when she's feeling anxious. How about you? I know a lot of people do. When anxiety rose up to face Jesus, he talked back. He had something to say whenever he felt anxious. So here's what I want to do with our time today. I want us to look at what Jesus said, how he attacked anxiety with his words and overcame. We're going to look at three different places, three different times that Jesus talked in the midst of his anxiety and how he can help us when we're attacking anxiety head on in our own lives. All three come from the life of Jesus in Mark chapter 14. How do you find relief from anxiety? How can you attack anxiety? The first thing that we see Jesus do is something that you may also want to do, and it's this. Number one, talk to your friends. When you're overwhelmed, when you're feeling anxious, when you're feeling heavy and weighed down, it's really wise to talk to godly, spiritual, and helpful friends. In Mark 14, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane with his closest friends, Peter, James, and John. They had just completed what would be Jesus' Last Supper, and while Jesus goes to pray, Judas sneaks off to betray him. You can only imagine the anxiety that Jesus would confront, knowing the immense pain and sorrow that was to come. It's only fitting that he's in this olive grove, as Gethsemane means crushing. For olives to produce their oil, they'll have to be crushed. For olives to bring about the oil they're known for, there will first be a pressing. Before Jesus would be arrested, tortured, and nailed to a cross, he first went to the Garden of Crushing. It says this in Mark 14. They went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, "Sit here while I go and pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Please hear this. The sinless, perfect Son of God is deeply troubled and distressed. Jesus said, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death." Some of you can relate to that. And what breaks my heart is that so many of us will listen to the lie of the enemy and think that there is something wrong with us when we feel the exact same way. Like we're the only ones and no one else will understand. The sinless Son of God said, "My soul is crushed." Listen, you and I can admit when we're hurting. Even though Jesus is completely innocent, he's willing to endure the horror that was about to come. He would be arrested, tortured, put to death in the most painful and humiliating way we can imagine. He was perfectly sinless. He enjoyed perfect fellowship with his Father. And soon the sins of the world will be placed on him. Our filth would meet his holiness. And what Jesus is feeling is perhaps the most human moment he's had. It's why Jesus says that he didn't come to judge the world, he came to save it. He came to show God's love, to be the sacrifice on our behalf. And I love the honesty of Jesus. "Guys, I'm not good." Come on, so often as Christians, and certainly as Hoosiers, someone says, "How are you?" And we're like, "I'm good." Or if you're really spiritual, you'll say, "I'm blessed." And the truth is, it's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay there. And it's why Jesus talked to his friends. Jesus was expressing to them, "My insides ache so much that I don't know if I can bear it. Keep watch for me." I think that's one of the bravest things you can say to someone. Keep watch for me. Stay up for me. I'm not good and I can't do this alone. And everyone listening to my voice today, you need to be able to say this. No one Listen, turn to someone around you or type it online. No one, please hear this, no one is exempt from this. 1/3 of all adults say they are lonely. 2/3 of those in the millennial generation say they feel a real sense of loneliness at least once every week. I think a key reason why so many people are battling anxiety these days is because they're battling it on their own. Go back to the beginning, and I mean the very beginning, and God says it's not good for man to be what? Alone. It's why we have Echo groups. You and I are designed to live in community. You can have people in your home and still be lonely. You can live next door to folks and still be alone. Groups have begun, but we can still get you in. Text STEPS to 94253 and let us know you want to be in a group. If you signed up for a group, listen, go all in. Jesus, the Son of God, He knew He needed people. That means unequivocally, you and I need people. I have men that I regularly ask to pray for me. We ask for prayer together. I want you to think about this for a moment. It's so important to God that you feel His love, not just hear about it, that He sent Jesus to the earth. Jesus is also referred to as Emmanuel. What's that mean? God with us. God didn't shout His love from heaven. He came and dwelt among us. It's why you need, yes, I'm using the word need. You need to be at First Wednesday Worship in the Park on October 7th at 6 p.m. in the amphitheater, Washington Township Park. You need to encounter God's love with the people of God. There is nothing like it. We'll participate in communion together in a 2020 social distancing kind of way. October 7th, Worship in the Park. Get there. Why? We need one another. We strengthen each other. We're better together. So Jesus, as always, leads us so well. Even when He's deeply hurting, He shows us that vulnerability with the right people is actually a strength. Jesus asked His friends, keep watch for me, pray for me, I'm not doing well. If you're attacking anxiety, you can do what Jesus did and talk with some godly friends. Number two, you can talk to your Heavenly Father. You can talk to your Heavenly Father. Let's talk about the things that induce anxiety in us for a moment. Anyone else become anxious when the check engine light turns on in your car? Anybody else? First off, I don't like dealing with mechanics. If any of you have one that you love to work with, send me an email. I'm shamelessly asking for a reference. Second, I know it's going to cost me way more than I can imagine. I always think it's no big deal, it's just a small part. And then they tell me they must deconstruct the whole car to get that one little part in before putting the car back on the assembly line and rebuilding it from scratch and charging me an outrageous per hour fee the whole time. I'm getting a little anxious. Just talking about it right now. When that check engine light turns on, what do? You go to the mechanic. Listen closely to this. When anxiety shows up, let it be the check engine light for your soul. It's time to talk to my Heavenly Father. Do you remember what Paul tells us in his letter to the church in Philippi? Chapter 4, do you remember? Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything, and then the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. The light on your dashboard is a signal. Something's not right. Anxiety is a signal. Something's not right. It's time to pray. It's time to talk with God. It's time to allow God's peace in, because peace is not dwelling in me currently. I love how Craig Groeschel says it. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. If it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. Are you worried about your marriage? Pray. Are you anxious about the economy? Pray. Are you tied in knots with the election? It's time to pray. Are you up all night thinking about your job? It's time to drop to your knees and pray. You're fretting over a decision and all the options. Pray and ask God for His wisdom. If your school or your work or your health situation means you've got to go take one of those tests where they shove the stick with the cotton swab on the end so far up your nose that it tickles your brain, come on, pray hard. Come on, what is anxiety? It's a signal alerting you it's time to pray. Jesus talked with his friends, and he talked with his heavenly Father. If we keep on with Jesus in the olive grove, it says this: he went on a little farther and fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, that the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. Abba, Father, he cried out. We often rush past this verse and the sweep of what's to come, but can we linger here for just a moment? Jesus, the Son of God, fully human and fully God, is asking that this moment pass him by. He falls to the ground before his heavenly Father, and he just tells him how he feels. Please, I don't want to suffer this way. And I love that Jesus is honest. It wasn't a memorized or cliche prayer. He just hurt before his Father. Peter, one of the guys in the garden that night, he later writes that we should cast our cares upon God because he cares for us. Listen, like Jesus, cry out to your heavenly Father. I don't know how, and I don't know what, and I don't know if I can take it anymore. You just tell him how you feel. Listen, I promise you, God would rather that you be honest and unleash on him than be some kind of phony in prayer and pretend you're okay. Be honest with God. If you're angry, tell God. If you're afraid, let God know. When you're confused or frustrated, be honest with God. You can't catch your breath. You can't settle your thoughts. You can't find relief. It's time to pray. Jesus says, Father, I don't want to do this. So if there's another way, I'm asking for it. My soul is crushed within me. He talked to his Father openly and honestly from the heart. Here's number three. The third thing that we see Jesus do when he's feeling anxious, you talk to your feelings. Let me repeat that. Talk to your feelings. Come on, let's keep the honesty train rolling for a bit. Can anyone admit for a moment that your feelings sometimes are just plain crazy? Anybody? You know there are some people that will say, just follow your feelings and trust your heart. Let me say this in love. Don't do that. Don't follow your feelings. You are not your feelings. Your feelings are real and your feelings are important, but your feelings are not always true. That's why it's important to talk to your feelings. You're not the boss of me. You don't own me. You don't get to lead me. You know this to be true. There are times when you worry and obsess over things that never even happen. That's why we don't follow our feelings. We tell our feelings about our faith. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Let's go back to verse 36, but I want to look at the whole prayer of Jesus this time. Abba, Father, he cried out. Everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. Jesus has made it very clear. I do not feel like being arrested, tortured, and murdered. I don't want to do this. I don't feel like being beaten and stripped of my clothes and nailed to a cross, hanging naked and humiliated. I do not want to be falsely accused and pay the price for a crime I didn't commit. But Jesus talked to his feelings. I'm not following my feelings. I'm trusting you, my God. Whenever you start to feel like God doesn't love you, stop your feelings and say, no, God is love, and God so loved the world that he sent his Son to die for me, that whoever believes in him would not die but have life forever. When you feel like you're all alone and that no one cares, you say, no, that's not true. There are people all around me. I have a church family that loves me. God has given me people that love me deeply. God never leaves me. God will never forsake me. When you begin to worry about your finances, there's not enough money left at the end of the month. You talk to your feelings. You tell them that God is an abundant provider. He meets all of your needs according to his glory and riches. When you feel like you just can't go on, remind your feelings that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You're not a victim. You're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the words of your testimony. What did Jesus do with his anxiety? He talked to his friends. They were his spiritual support team. He talked to his father and he cried out to God. And he talked to his feelings. Someone listening, you need to tell your feelings to get in line, to align with your faith, to align with a higher truth. You're not going to let your feelings drive. You're going to put faith in the driver's seat. You're holding on to God's truth and God's word. Your feelings are real. They just don't have the last word. How can we learn from Jesus when faced with overwhelming anxiety? We're going to attack anxiety, talking with godly friends, talking with God, and talking to our feelings. It worked for Jesus. Think about it. Jesus was so overcome by anxiety that he stumbled into the garden, nearly unable to stand. His soul crushed. His anxiety was overwhelming. In the hours that would follow, he'd be arrested, flogged, and beaten, thorns driven into his skull and nailed to a cross when the weight of all the sin was placed upon him. And yet, God provided him the power he needed to endure the greatest tragedy this earth has ever known. And while hanging on the cross, Jesus gave up his life. No one took it. Jesus offered it up. Please hear the importance of this. He may have stumbled into the garden, but he burst forth from the tomb by the power of God's Spirit. Death and the devil thought they had had the victory, but they lost the war. Jesus overcame, and the Bible says that when you receive the grace of Jesus into your life, allowing God's grace to cover your sins, listen, the same power that rose Jesus up from the dead now lives in you. Get some people around you that will wage a spiritual war with you. If you don't have them, we can help with this. In fact, we love to help you. Talk to your God. Receive his strength and power in your inner spirit. And as God builds you up, tell your feelings, listen to your spirit. You're living inside out, the Spirit of God leading your spirit. I'm not overcome. The overcomer lives in me. And today, anxiety, you lost the battle. You just provided the warning light that it's a reminder that it's time to pray. It's time to talk to my God that loves me and fights for me and strengthens me and lives in me. If you need the strength of God to fortify you in your spirit, why don't you pray with me right now? In your own heart, pray something like this: Father, anxiety has gotten the best of me. I'm overwhelmed. I don't have the words, and on my own, I don't have the strength. So I'm turning to you. I believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe I'm deeply loved and upheld by your mighty arms. I feel like I can't go on, but today I'm rising up in faith. I'm believing that the overcomer lives in me. I believe that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is in charge of my spirit. God, lead me in victory. God, give me the strength to overcome. Lead me in health and wholeness and joy and peace. As we continue to pray, there are some of you, you realize that you have a very real spiritual need. As you've listened, you realize that you need Jesus. You recognize that Jesus died to pay for the sins of the world, but that you have yet to receive the grace. And today is your day. When Jesus went to the cross, every sin was placed on him. You don't have to pay for your own sins. All you have to do is receive his free gift. When Jesus rose from the dead, he made it possible for every person that calls on his name to not only receive forgiveness, but to have new life. Today, if you call on the name of Jesus, you can be set free from the guilt of your sin and be made 100% new and alive. If today's your day, why don't you pray with me right now, out loud or in your own heart right now, something like this: Jesus, I give you my life. I believe you died to forgive me. I believe you rose up from the dead to make me alive. And today I choose to follow you. Guide me to follow you with my whole life. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, let me be the first to celebrate this important spiritual step with you. I'm so proud of you. And I want you to do one thing before you do anything else. You cannot walk this journey with God alone because you're not made to. You need a church family. Right now, text the word STEPS to 94253. And on the form that we'll send you in a link, check the box letting us know the spiritual decision you made today. And we'll follow up with you and help you take your next spiritual steps. Don't wait, do it right now. Hey, in just a moment, we'll continue to lift our voices to the powerful name of Jesus and spend time in God's presence. Let me give you just some super quick notes before we do. For anyone interested in prayer, maybe you're interested in baptism, or you just want to take some spiritual next steps, text the word STEPS to 94253, that's the number, and let us know how God is leading you. We're here to help you continue to grow in God. For anyone wanting prayer, interested in baptism, or just wanting to take some spiritual steps, text the word STEPS to this number, 94253, and let us know how God is leading you. Listen, we're here to help you continue to grow in God. If you have preschool and elementary kids, hop on our YouTube channel for their Uptown and Midtown worship and video lessons. They are a lot of fun and a great way to invest spiritually in your household. If you'd like to give online, you can do so at echochurch.cc and simply click on the Give button, or you can hit the Give button on the echochurch.cc app. Hey, this week, listen, follow Jesus with your whole life. Know that you are not alone because we're in this together. As we trust God with our lives, God is faithful to build us up. Remember this week, if you feel anxious, it's time to pray. Allow God's strength and power to lead you. Jesus is the overcomer and He lives in you. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave is the same power that's in you as a follower of Jesus. Let the church come around you. Let God's strength fuel you. And tell your feelings to listen to your faith. Hey guys, we love you and we're here for you. We will see you next week for part 3 of Emotions.